to Cablecast. My name, of course, is Caleb Cable Ryer. In this episode, I'm joined by a former Worlds finalist and current VGC streamer, just like everyone else in quarantine, Jody Azzarelli. How's it going, Jody?
Hey, guys. I'm doing good right now. Happy to be here. I'm just living my quarantine life.
Just like all of us, yes. Glad to have you. Along with him, we have another newbie to the podcast, close friend of mine and Canadian VGC overlord, Abe Brath. Seiko, how are you doing?
Hey guys. Also, yeah, just living quarantine life.
Yeah.
Honestly, like playing Pokemon, that's how we've been getting through this mostly, I'd say.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason why I have the three of us, this is a little odd pairing, I'd argue. But we're in like a chat together for Waka World Tour, anyways. But we all played in and made it to day two of the Players Cup.
So, we did.
Yeah, that
we
happened.
We did do that.
That feels like a year ago almost already. But episode's gonna be all about. And you know, just let us vent about what went well, what went wrong, what we really didn't like, but. We could save that for later. But there's some also metagame analysis. We can talk about the Pokemon aspect instead of just, you know, the tournament itself. But you guys have any, like, beginning thoughts? Anywhere you want to start?
Honestly, with quarantine, that's the reason I'm playing Pokemon again. So
that is true.
Players Cup was, like, my first Nintendo event, TPCI event, besides the International. So it was really fun. I had a lot of fun. I think it was ran really well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It was so fast. Even though it was double elimination, it was very smooth. I liked the format. I am a pro Oaken Team Sheets. And I do hope that, like, if we do have more online tournaments in the future, that we test that out more.
I know personally, it's still in the works. We're figuring out. I don't know. I might do it on like a call-in sub tour or something, but I want to run, like, put in some money, like some pot money, actual stuff on the line instead of whatever official trip four people will get in the world. But I want to have like an actual Swiss Open team sheet tournament run.
Oh God. So. I had a lot of fun with Players Cup. It was, I don't play in the grassroots tours. Just because I don't really have time. And so, like, Players Cup was like, oh my God, we're actually having something official for the first time. And since stuff got canceled. So it was like a way for me to, like, get back invested in Mons. And yeah, pro open team sheets. Same here. I love that aspect.
I completely forgot, but it was also fun that it was like most people's first, like, Series 5 tournament because of when the DLC dropped. Because we qualified through the May IC, which was like, that was late enough Series 4. But
I think it was the last thing of Series 4.
The Invitational, the Players Cup Invitational, that was like the last thing.
Yeah.
Because when they streamed that was, they actually streamed it after the DLC had come out, but it was played the weekend before the DLC. So
it was like Series 4.5.
Yeah, because we still had the hidden ability starters, so we got to see Yuri with that, right? He had the So, honestly, with all the other like Series 5 stuff we've had added, like I wouldn't say I'm surprised that Rillaboom and Cinderace are so like hugely impactful to the meta, but it is interesting because they were added in Series 4 too, so we had a little more practice with them.
I was actually surprised a bit about Cinderace because like I at first thought I was just like, oh, it's Greninja, so it's not going to be that good, but then with Dynamax factored, it was way better than I expected.
It gets two of the, I'd argue, top five max moves in Airstream and Steel Spike, so maybe even like top three. I think like boosting defenses and boosting speed are like the best matchups.
Yeah.
I think it feels an awful lot like, you remember back when we first got our hands on 2020 and Bingji came out with that like Durant team?
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of like Life Orb Durant, where it just, it blows stuff up, right? Like it was...
Yeah. It has a better speed tier crazy and coverage than Durant now, too. So, honestly, yeah.
But
I
it got those.
Here, go ahead.
It got those great boosty max moves, and it just, you know, blows up the meta. It had the speed, it had the offensiveness, and all its problems are really mitigated by Dynamax Factor. Mm-hmm. Having that boosted HP.
Yeah.
So.
Are there any reasons to run Durant now that Cinderace exists? Like, Cinderace basically covers, if not covers more than Durant ever would anyways. I guess Max Quake, but...
I guess a rock move really gets, like, the...
Oh, yeah, true.
But still, it's very... You have to have a big reason. It does still hit harder because of Hustle.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. That's, like, something to look at. But the reasons, you really need to have good reasons to be using it over, let's say, Cinderace or the other fast, strong mons.
Yeah.
Here, since we're already talking about Cinderace, let's also talk about, we'll look at, I have links for us. Let's look at just the week one percent usage stats from Players Cup when we had 256 people playing, you know, with all the no-shows and whatnot.
Yeah.
I was surprised by the amount of no-shows. Like, I would think if you qualified, you'd, like, want to play, but...
Yeah. I know there were some people that didn't even get the email, which is a thing, too. But, yeah.
Yeah, it was a little messy on that end. Like, when we say the tournament was really well-run, it was, like, it went when the tournament, like, was happening. That was, like, perfect. Like, we had a great judge staff and everyone. They were running all the tournaments, but the
Yeah, the shout out to the staff.
Yeah, very, very thankful for all of them, but... At the same time, I have so many qualms with, I guess, the setup of the tournament. We never got a reseeded bracket from the no-shows. So, I'm trying to think. I mean, Santino, he qualified, so he definitely showed that he deserved it. But he got a round three winner's bye, which, like...
Oh, really?
Yeah, because of how it worked. It was weird. Like, someone would have gotten... two buys in a row if they had beat, or like they would have gone a round one buy and a round three buy if they had beaten Santino round two, but they didn't.
Really?
Oh, that's weird.
So in my mind, it's just like round three winners, you're going to be fighting someone like pretty good, like they're 2-0. So just to get be able to skip stuff like that, it was a little, you know, suspect.
Yeah, I really did not like it. A lot of the predictions I was making with friend groups and such assumed that, you know, TPCI would do what makes sense and drop the buys.
Yeah, and just reset everything. Yeah.
Yeah, and we ended up with stuff like Santino getting a round three buy, some players getting two buys all the way into round three, where they only needed to win one more just to make it. So it's like unfortunate. Obviously, if you made it even further in day like week two and further into week three, then you obviously deserve it.
Right.
But it is disheartening to see.
It's just the fact that it happens.
Yes.
Especially because of how easy it is to truly just reseed things. But also because, so I don't know if I cared too much about the seeding from the placement of the IC itself. I know a lot of people were just like stopped playing when they knew they were like locked in for Players Cup. Like they could have been better. So like the seeding wasn't really like the best gauge of overall skill. But because of the no-shows, like I think the second seed was a no-show or something. So it just disproportionately shifted a lot of like lower players who just barely made it into Players Cup to advance even further. So as far as like the legitimacy of the event itself, double elimination also like not the most helpful thing for us to be used to, I guess. Like
I think they handled the seeding right. It makes sense, you see, based off of the finish that you had. I think that's cool. I think it opens up more dots into why are we not seeding our events in the future, even our Swiss events, considering we do have rankings and stuff. So that's something I actually would like to explore more, I
I've
guess, in the
been saying
future.
this for the past like 5 years. Like I want to see we need to find TPCI to have an excuse to replace Tom. I don't know if they'll ever do it, our current tournament organizer software, but if we had like seeded Swiss, that'd be a lot more fun in my opinion, because then
There's
like
actually
you're going.
a version of Scrabble Swiss. So Scrabble uses Swiss the same way we do, but they
Okay.
use a seeded Swiss, and I don't remember the exact name for it. You can look it up after this, but
Interesting. But I
it's
just
based off of like
imagine,
your Elo.
yeah.
It's based off of your Elo, so similar to the, you know, we have these internal rankings that they never use.
Yeah, I just hate
But
it when like two people are like 2-0 and they're like potentially the best players in the tournament and honestly should be playing in finals, but they meet round 3 of Swiss and one of them has to lose. And so that kind of messes up things there. Even if the other person like wins out, it's like it's a little messed up, but
Or you travel by region, right? And you have to team kill your buddies,
yeah.
right? Like you travel to a regional and you got to team kill your friends that you drove with, right? Or something like that.
Well,
So.
honestly, that might happen. You can't dodge that. There's no more friend rule. We're not single elim.
No, but you know, you can do that with like pool seating or something, even though that's not Swiss seating, but you get sort of what I mean.
I agree. I guess one thing they could have done for this, we could have had like a pools phase first and then seeded into a double elimination bracket. But I know like there's pressed for time as is, and because they were running all the qualifiers like back to back, that's why we had to play within 3 weekends. Which before we, I know we said we talked about the Pokemon next, but before we get into that, how did you guys feel about playing like within the past week? Well, first I'll ask like just mentality of having to prep for different days, but also we know our matchup going into the next weekend and like prepping for that like in the middle of a tournament. Like how'd you guys feel about that? Did you like that aspect? Did you hate it? I hated it, but I'll go on about that later.
You mind if I start, Jody?
Yeah, you can start.
So I made a tweet earlier about specifically like that stress, you know, the like sinking feeling you get before a tournament. So like day one, first Saturday of Players Cup, that first week, my like I couldn't go to sleep the night before, right? It's that like sinking feeling you get before the even the night before like a regional, the night before any big tournament. And so the very first thing was like mentality. I couldn't sleep. And then like for me to have to wait from when I woke up at like 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. with that like pit in my stomach all day, I was freaking out, man. I was pacing around the room. It wasn't good.
But what about the
And so
next week?
to have to do that again next week, because it doesn't change, right? Like the next week you get in and you're like, it comes back. It's like, oh shit, I gotta play in like another big tournament this weekend. So
It
I was
didn't
like
feel
freaking
different for
out.
you, like specifically
No, it felt
knowing
like
your opponent's team ahead of time?
knowing my opponent's team was a bit different in the sense like I could prep for it. So I like knew some of my opponents from before, and I played some matchup prep with some friends, but like it's that tournament nerves that happened before the tournament. That mentality is just like that freaks me out, and it's awful. My stomach was like I was nauseous all day before the tournament, so
I don't blame you. So how did it
I
affect you, Jody?
didn't like it.
No, I was gonna say like everyone feels that the nerves. I felt the nerves all of the first week. As soon as like the day started, one, I woke up way too early for a 3 p.m. tournament. I was up at like 8, and I'm like, oh no, today's
Well,
gonna be a
that's
long day.
usually when we have to wake up for our tournaments.
That is,
So,
right?
yeah.
That is,
So like one, I do enjoy later tournaments. I've been playing Smash like in my time away from Pokemon. And like the local here starts at 7 p.m. So like 3 p.m. tournament, I'm like, yes, sir. But it was
yeah.
definitely a lot different because like it's not a local. The stakes felt higher, and just had that weight. And I did the thing of just waiting in a group call because I'm not gonna wait alone. You know, I'm trying to get the regional experience. And that was that helped. We watched some ping pong before
Ping
the
Pong
set.
the
Yes, and then it started. And it just was quick. I won my game, won my next one, then it was like over, and I'm like, oh no, I won another one, and now it's just like,
Yeah, so
wow, that
Jody,
was a
you and I
lot.
went 3-0 the first day, and they were just
Yeah.
coasting.
Like it was fast. Games were played, which is like a lot different from Swiss, especially the way this was handled since it was over multiple days. I never felt like I had to wait an unnecessarily long period of time, and I guess that's also because I was in winners the whole time, so I never. But
Yeah, the loser's experience, there is a lot of lag there.
yeah. So going into week one to week two, I was playing against Jonathan Evans, and we played the same team. So we just made a pact that we weren't going to like full on out prepare for each other. So I actually went that whole week pretty stress-free. Like I didn't want to think about the
Damn.
matches after that. I didn't want to think about the matches in losers. I just had like a week vacation, played John, got beat by John, and then just played through losers. So I guess I had a different experience compared to you, where you had to, you know, you were stressed out the next, like you had to prep for your opponent, and then you were feeling the pressure going into Saturday.
Yeah, here, I'll
Because I was in
share.
losers,
Oh yeah,
right?
actually, yeah. Hey, talk
I was
about
in
losers real
losers
quick.
from the end of week one, so I lost my second round off of some unfortunate
So what was your
full paras.
record after the first day? So how many games did you have to play? Four or five?
I played five, so I
Okay.
won game one and then lost game two, which meant I just had to play all of losers. It
Yeah.
was like all of losers or bust. So I played, it was win loss, three wins in a row. And then
Okay.
the next week would have been four wins in a row. And then the next week after, four wins in a row, right?
Yeah.
So that's stressful, right? That's like, oh my God, there's no margin of error.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my opponent's teams for next week, and I'm like, oh God, I don't have a matchup, right? Like, so that was the concern. That's like what got me so stressed. And like losers was fast. You guys are saying like, oh, maybe there's some lag in losers. I didn't experience that.
Well,
I would finish my games and it'd
Toler
be,
had to
hey.
wait for like winner sets or whatever when we were talking about
Oh,
it.
really?
Or there were some
Huh.
loser sets. Yeah, there was a little wait, I think deeper in losers. I think one side of the bracket was going faster than another just because one winner set was like a
Really?
2-0 instead of a 2-1. So
Man, I didn't even have time to like I'd finish my match and the next person would be like, hey, you good to go? And I was like, man, I gotta take a piss. I gotta go get snacks. Like there wasn't even time to do this stuff, you
Well,
know?
were your sets longer than your opponents, I guess, then?
No, I was playing Cinderace. I was running hyper
Okay,
offense stuff. Like no,
fair.
it was fast, man.
Interesting.
Didn't help.
So just to speak about like my experience, I was pretty stress free going into the first day, honestly. Like I was just gonna play what I liked, the core I was using. I peaked 19th on the Battle Stadium ladder, going like 13-0 on stream earlier that week. And then I added two other Pokemon that Toler was using. But so Toler and I, we published our team. We used the same six because we were getting to the same like kind of core from different angles. So it was really interesting. But where was I going with this? Right, so I had him. We were talking all the set that day, Saturday, leading up into our games at 3 p.m. I was not looking forward to playing Angel. I knew I'd play Angel. That
Oh
said,
yeah,
very
big angel.
stressful. That matchup was, I think, well executed on my end. I ended up winning, so I went 3-0 the first day. But then my round four winner's opponent was like my worst matchup. But it had like let it was Sun. I'm really weak to just Sun, which was not the call for this tournament. There was so much Sun. But like it was playable. It was winnable too, but it wasn't something I was comfortable fighting. But how it ended up working is I prepped a lot against that team, but with Toler playing my opponent's team, and then we'd like switch and whatnot. But both of us played it very differently than my opponent did. So, and I got kind of conditioned from my practice sets going into that. He was really afraid of my Duraludon mode, which I wasn't even considering bringing. If I had gone Duraludon, I think game two and then one, I probably it would have been close. But I even talked to the guy after, he agreed, like, if we played like a first to 10, like it might have gone like 10-8 on someone's end. Like it was a very, very close
So
matchup.
which six were you again, Caleb? Just for
So I
memory.
had the core that I ride or die for was Gyarados, Terrakion, Duraludon, Rillaboom, with Sash coaching Terrakion, which I love so much. And then our last mons were Clefairy,
Ooh.
Talonflame, which Toler loved the Talonflame because he was all about there was this like Terrakion Talonflame mode, but none of my matchups really enabled that well. I
Yeah.
probably would have preferred having like a bulkier pivot fire Pokemon for the Sun matchup, but it was fun. It was a good time. But yeah, prepping
Jody, what
for
were your sticks
that,
again?
and then losers I lost to
No.
Hyper Offense. But yeah, let's talk about teams before we talk about what's good. So
Yeah.
Jody, what was your
Yeah,
six again?
Jody, what were your sticks?
So yeah, I played the same team that Nick and John ended up playing. It was Cinderace, Rillaboom, Incineroar, Milotic, Clefairy, and well, I'm actually forgetting my last Pokemon, which is a bit
T-Tar, right?
T-Tar.
T-Tar,
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
it was.
So you had
I
four of
don't.
the top five usage Pokemon week one.
Wow, I did not even know that. Yeah, I was lucky. So I was like, I didn't get to practice for the tournament. And then in practice games, I saw Nick play the team, and I'm like, I kind of want to play that team. And I asked him, and he gave me permission to use the team. So that was good. That was fun. I didn't get to, so like a lot of my practice with the team was the day of the tournament. But very, very strong stuff. Cinderace is an amazing Pokemon.
It's nuts.
Rillaboom is an amazing
It's number one in
Pokemon.
usage for a reason.
Yeah, that I did not ex like I knew Grassy Glide was dumb, but then you don't realize how dumb Grassy Glide is until you actually play with it, and it's
It entirely
insane.
invalidates Terrakion as a Pokemon in the format. Like,
Yeah.
it upsets me to no ends. Like, everyone kind of knows me as like the beat up Arcanine guy. I don't like beat up that much. I just kept winning with it early in the season. So people were like, "Oh, you're gonna use beat up Terrakion." I like Terrakion for different reasons because I've used Terrakion in the past on like 2015 Sun or like other stuff. I don't know. Terrakion's a good Pokemon, but
Yeah, I thought that
Grassy
Terrakion was going to be good on Sun teams this year. That's what I tested like week
Glide.
one. So I was like, oh, we finally get a rock type that can deal with like Togekiss stuff, but it's also like fighting, which is good against Tyranitar and stuff.
But I think Tyranitar itself is just better in that role. Because Tyranitar beats the other Tyranitar too, so it's interesting. Like Terrakion was at 5% usage. Was it even in like week two? It was also at 5%. So like it's there. I thought it'd be slightly better than Urshifu, but like I get that Urshifu, why its usage is higher than Terrakion, just because people is like it's a newer toy to play with, busted ability, solid GMAX option. but I don't know.
I really wanted to play with Urshifu, so that's why I ended up.
What was your?
I saw similar to what Jody was saying. He saw what Nails was using, and I saw that as well. And I was like, I like it, but there's a couple of things I don't really like, and I really want to try Urshifu. So I put on Urshifu Dark, Toxtricity, and Togekiss instead of Cinderace, Clefairy, and Tyranitar.
No, you had Cinderace.
So, or not Cinderace, sorry.
Incineroar.
Clefairy, Incineroar, and Tyranitar. Yeah.
So you had...
So,
yeah.
Urshifu, I think, is a really fun mon. I think people are still struggling to figure it out, but I think
I thought the water one would be more popular, honestly.
I think that when I looked at them, I had the same thought. But then, the dark type is generally like a very polarizing, like weird type. Generally, like
I just thought dark fighting with Togekiss still existing.
I'm gonna be real. I actually lost a game versus Yoshin Lugia because I forgot.
Oh, yeah?
I forgot about it going through Protect.
Oh no!
What was that streamed? Did you stream that?
Yeah, I did stream it. then there was another time where it was at -1, and my Rillaboom was at -1, but it was at full HP, and I'm like, so Poison Jab can't kill me. I'm good. And then it used Wicked Blow, and it one-shot my Rillaboom. And I was just like, what the hell is this Pokemon?
Wicked Blow. what's the Gavin tweet? You know the one I'm talking about, right? Shoot, it was so good. One nice thing about fighting Urshifu is it's not able to crit you with Surging Strikes or Wicked Blow. I mean, yes. To those at home who are confused about this, it's guaranteed crit, but because of its base power, it just hits like a normal move, essentially. But so it can't do more than that. Like, it can't like be a crit close combat and do like 2,000%.
Yeah.
So it's fair, you know.
It's like you can never intimidate it. Its main stab move, which is I think what makes it.
Yeah.
Crazy, because even if it's at -3, Wicked Blow is hitting like its potential.
I learned that harder. Yeah, I just know this from Doubles OU and also Waka World Tour trying out no max VGC 20. Without max, Urshifu is just like broken.
Like, it's really good.
They clearly really made this Pokemon knowing like max was like a thing.
Yeah, it's hitting for a lot. Even though it is never critting you, it's hitting you for a lot all the time. Same one.
I specifically went Urshifu Dark because you're saying you thought water would be better. I specifically went Dark just because
you're Dark hits a lot more of the meta.
It hits a lot more of the meta in my mind. Surging Strikes can't touch Rillaboom as much, which I knew was going to be big. And Wicked Blow just
You have an issue with Amoongus too, with the water one.
Yeah, with Amoongus as well. Amoongus shuts it down completely unless you have like Aerial Ace or Ice Punch.
I was gonna say of the four, it was four Urshifu that cut, so, and there was a 2-2 split.
Was it a 2-2 split? Yeah.
Was it a 1-3? No, it was actually a 1-3 split, sorry. It was three water Urshifu and one dark Urshifu.
Where are the waters from?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess, like, so there's a water and a dark in the Latin America finals.
Yeah.
There's
a water in... Santi had a water for...
And Luca had a dark, I'm pretty sure.
Luca had a water.
Oh, he had a water?
Yeah.
I literally can't read how they look.
It's hard. We have to remember the stances and everything. But so, the two Urshifu that made it through NA.
They both made it out of winner's time, yeah. Which I think is pretty crazy stat.
That is, yeah, that is interesting.
Or Shifu, or like all are all undefeated. All the Shifu that made it through. But
yeah, that's pretty crazy.
But none.
You really
in
need
OG,
Togekiss hate.
Yeah.
And Amoongus hate, depending on which one you go for.
Mm-hmm.
But they are good if you can get them to work.
Yep.
So.
Are there any Pokemon that are like super relevant we haven't talked about yet? Like, I guess, so we have stats from week one and week two usage. Like, the only big difference is that Whimsicott goes down 7% from week one. So, like, all the hyper offense teams kind of fell off. Which is, like, no surprise. But
Dragapult goes up, which is important. I, before the tournament, I was like, why would I use Dragapult when I have Cinderace?
Right.
Like, I couldn't justify that.
Well,
but it seems like
faster.
A lot of people...
It's good against Cinderace, because it's a faster Airstream.
Yeah.
It is, but there's still problems with that, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
it doesn't out-damage Cinderace, even with Wormwind. Like, there are problems with Dragapult versus
Well, you
Cinderace.
Can get,
it's
like,
a...
combo stuff off if you're boosting
yes.
the thing next
yes.
to you. Because that's what Cinderace likes to do, but if you do it before them, it's advantageous.
Yes.
I think
Incineroar goes up, which is important as well.
Yeah.
Slightly. And Sun goes up as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Sun goes up dramatically. Torkoal up 5%. Minusaur up.
Would you
4%.
Guys say that Sun... is the best archetype in the format currently? I would argue that.
I can't
say
I
yes.
I can't. I don't think. I think just in general, I think, I don't know if it's not really a team,
mm-hmm.
but Incineroar, like Rillaboom balanced stuff.
There's a different, kind of, there's a few different like core stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Incineroar, Rillaboom stuff are just, they're more splashable. They're, mm-hmm. I guess, like, as an overall archetype, Sun is probably the best, but I still think stuff like Ted, even though if
yeah.
it's not Excadrill,
yeah.
like, it's still probably up there as a team to beat, but Sun is definitely top
yeah,
three.
Yeah, because the Dragapult Sand stuff beats Sun pretty hard, but it can, that stuff, in return, can struggle against, like, I guess the more balance-oriented, like, Rillaboom and
yeah.
some other stuff you're talking about. So... It's this whole, like, web of matchups. But I still
yeah.
feel like Sun is, like, the most oppressive. Like, there's so many, like, things it can do.
Okay,
like,
I'll give you... Yeah, if I didn't use Nails' team, I would have used Sun 100%. I think that... I think
like,
it's insane.
Dusclops T-Tar version?
Yeah, I would have used Dusclops T-Tar stuff. I think it's insane just because... how powerful, like, even though the you resist it doesn't matter because the guy they're putting you to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Venusaur is an insane max. They made Venusaur better by giving it a G-max.
Vine Lash is ridiculous. I want it out of this game. That's another thing that invalidates my Terrakion. Like, Sash Terrakion in the Sun matchup, so good. Until Vine Lash comes up, and it's just like,
yeah.
what item?
You just still die regardless.
You have Ooze to boost Torkoal. You have Sleep to put on pressure. You have Quake to live things. You have Vine Lash to do residual damage. Venusaur is incredibly oppressive just at team preview,
yeah.
which makes it really difficult to deal with.
I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing more Venusaur off of Sun. I know that was a thing, like, early Series 3. Like, when we first got... Lapras, like Venusaur and Cinderella
mm-hmm.
in the format. It's like a decent option.
Yeah. One little thing, that it's not even in the percentage. This was another thing. If I was able to make it work, I would have 100% bought it. Was Colossal. We talk about the teams that are very popular, the Incineroar, like Rillaboom stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Colossal
Cinderella stuff.
Made it through. It's not even on the usage. It's like people
yeah.
almost forgot about it.
How do you guys feel? I think that if there was a tournament to bring Colossal, it would have been this tournament. I don't know if Colossal is going to be good going into top 16, but I think that because you were expecting a lot of Sun, because Rillaboom in single recores were big. I think that Santi, like, this was his tournament, and it showed he made it through winners. But what do you guys feel about Cole in general?
I do think it was a really good call, because not a lot of people were respecting it. I know I thought – I was kind of confident in my matchup, just with, like, Gyarados stuff in general. It fares decently well. It doesn't, like, hit taking the rock moves, but, like, Gyarados to rock on. Solid.
Yeah. So I actually considered Cole for this tournament because I had used it in the May IC, and I really, really liked it. And
why didn't you use it then?
Gilly Suits had a really good version of the team that he had adapted from his Series 4 stuff. And the reason why I didn't was because I didn't feel like I had good enough ways to beat Urshifu Water, because I felt like some people would be bringing that, because you can't protect against it, you can't blow it up, and because
will you take
in
it?
One of the original versions,
do you live
in one of the original max? Versions of, I can't remember, but one of the original versions of Colossal that I had tried, switched out Solar Beam for Scorching Sand. And I don't remember why I didn't want to go back to that, but it was... I remember just thinking it probably wasn't... No, he was Solar Beam.
Okay.
But it
I
was,
know he was also Meteor Beam, which I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
Meteor Beam is good. So yeah, Cole was definitely a great call. I guess I got too distracted by new Twice Syndrome and Urshifu, Cinderace, that stuff. But Cole is definitely to look out for. And I highly suggest trying it if you haven't played it.
I guess like the two other things by staring at this chart, Caleb mentioned it, was that how Hyper Offense dropped. Whimsicott went from 16% down to 9%. But also Mon's like Magnezone. Talonflame rose up. Yeah, plus two actually.
Oh really?
So like Hyper Offense is still there.
Yeah. It was just like a lot of teams did get weeded out that were leaning into it heavily.
Hyper Offense teams really don't like open team sheets, I feel. Like, the Hyper Offense I lost to Extra, who I also lost to in a Rose Tower tournament once, I think it was. Or, like, some online grassroots tour. Because of that, I drafted him on my NPA team, so I knew him. But he, for whatever reason, this kid didn't know that it was open team sheets. Like, I don't get people who don't understand, like, all the rules to a tournament you're entered in. But he even said... Wow, I would have used, like, Grimmsnarl, like, control stuff if I knew it was open team sheets. Because a lot of the, like, techs or, like, options you have are easier to, like, maneuver around on open team sheets against Hyper Offense.
Yeah. That is true, especially Cinderace.
Cinderace moves.
Mm-hmm. But you mentioned Grimmsnarl control stuff, which did make top four in Europe. Roxen.
Yeah, with the Corviknight team.
Yeah.
Corviknight Dracozolt. Honestly, yeah, not a bad archetype right now. Another, like, I wouldn't say underexplored, but kind of forgotten one.
Yeah, was Grimmsnarl even... No, Grimmsnarl isn't even in the usage similar to Cole, so...
Yeah.
Pretty cool to note. I'm trying to think.
I'm just now... recognizing, like, my brain is just now realizing the Pokemon I'm seeing right now. In Latin America, a Drapion qualified?
Yeah. What? From winners, too, by the way. That's impressive.
I just generally write off that bracket. Not to sleep on Latin America. Yeah. We don't do that anymore, but, like...
I think it's
Drapion has really cool options just between Quake, Poison, Rockfall, and it can get around its Intimidate with crits.
Yeah,
So it's a cool mon, and I found Cinderace struggled against it a lot.
There is actually another Rillaboom struggled against it. Talking about yet, that I was kind of worried about as far as hyper offense goes. Porygon Z. That's another new archetype in Series 5 that, like, it was gaining a lot of traction the week going into it. People were tweeting, like, you're either playing in this tournament or using Porygon Z and you're going to lose or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I made a tweet about this recently, so I just want to address this.
Yes.
Okay? Porygon Z is a good mon with Dynamax.
Yes.
But stop pairing it next to a Clefairy. If you put it next to a Clefairy, I guarantee, like, if you just lead that every single time, everyone has a matchup for Porygon Z Clefairy.
Yeah, what's the Clefairy?
The things that I've seen that have actually worked, because Porygon Z puts on so much pressure at Team Preview. Mm-hmm. I believe, who won Streamers Cup? Was it Fevzi?
Yes.
Literally just yeah. yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he had Trick Room, right, on his Porygon Z. At the very least, it was putting on team pressure and having that extra trick to it, right? Mm-hmm. So you can no longer just sort of like for me, every single time I've played Porygon Z Clefairy, I have led the exact same thing. And every single time I have blown up the Porygon Z on turn two by clicking close combat with Urshifu,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they naturally at speeds. And the Clefairy's gone due to Cinderace blowing it up or whatever.
Yeah.
To actually have other options that the Porygon Z can actually try and put pressure on just by having that Trick Room option or Fake Out or whatever it is, and not just relying on Clefairy, I think that's what makes Porygon Z scary. Stop leading Porygon Z Clefairy, or I will find you and
honestly, beat you Max up. Strike in the similar vein of Airstream. Could be good to have like a partner next to it also dish out good damage.
I know it's not talked about much now, but Yuri did use Giga Impact on his Cinderace. So like Max Normal, Max, mm-hmm. yeah, Max Airstream. There is an argument for it. But yeah, I'm still looking at these Latin American teams.
Yeah, they're a little wild. Wait, I'm just remembering a Pokemon. Oh, no, it's on there in the usage, darn. I was going to note a very specific Pokemon. It rose up in usage from week one to week two. I thought it would be even lower. But Rotom Wash. How the mighty have fallen. The monkey will not let the washing machine come to play.
Yeah, just like Terrakion, right? Mm-hmm. Rotom Wash was a victim of Rillaboom. We understated just how the impact of Rillaboom. A lot of like before Rillaboom existed, let's think of mons like Primarina was like a lot of teams had like a big bulky water, mm-hmm. and like the highest bulky water is at 13%, sitting with Primarina and Lapras being the most used ones. So like water mons, the
Lapras
stock
can at least OKO the Rillaboom.
That is nice. The stock in water mons definitely changed when Rillaboom came. Rillaboom, I'm still surprised it like affected the meta as much as it did. But I mean, I'm not surprised in retro. Like looking at it now, like, it makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. But like stuff like how we thought Lungus was gonna be insane, Whimsicott, Terrakion gonna be insane, and they all just. Even rain, we thought rain, like a lot of water oriented stuff.
Politoed was supposed to come back and make a splash.
And Kingdra so final. Good. Whoa. I'm sorry. But yeah.
No, I did play one rain team. But yeah, outside of that, rain.
Was that? No, that wasn't Justin Burns.
No, Justin was playing Lapras team, which is it got fifth. Adi ended up piloting it.
Yeah,
and got fifth. So
Oh, freaking comfy. I hate that comfy's a thing. Like, what? I lost to it. I learned about it. I'm so glad I actually played practice games on Battle Stadium the week leading up to it, because I had no idea what comfy was trying to do. Like, I know what its ability does. I know its moves, like, yeah, floral healing and everything, but I didn't know it got Trick Room. I know the good comfies don't use Trick Room, but I lost to that because I was like, oh, I didn't know it learned Trick Room. I beat, oh my goodness. I don't think I have, no, because the server's down for that. But the team I played round 3 of Players' Cup, it was a comfy Lapras team, but none of the Pokemon had Protect. It was Ally Switch, Ally Switch Comfy, Helping Hand Lapras. Like, it was forced to Max Guard. It actually came into play because it didn't have Protect, that it was forced to Max Guard at one point and stall a Max turn from itself. But it was also, like, Ally Switch Chandelure and had all these other weird stuff, like, on paper. Super scary in, like, open team sheets to see two Pokemon with Ally Switch. I talked about this last cast, but Ally Switch is surprisingly powerful in open team sheets because it just gets in your head.
Like, yeah.
You would think knowing about it, you'd be less worried, but like,
No.
Speaking of Ally Switch, Duck Pond cut with Ally Switch Dragapult, so.
Oh, like, I completely forgot there. About that. Oh my god. Oh.
So. And you know that I was talking with him. He said one of the, like, the only reason he had it was for PZ, but it got in people's heads. Like, that was his PZ matchup, and that.
Yeah,
I can. You know, see. Like, it got in people's heads, and they were like, they misplayed against him.
So open team sheets. Good for finding out if your opponent has Protect or not. Mm-hmm. Good for finding out if Comfy learns Trick Room. Not good for finding out just because your opponent has Ally Switch. Definitely was not an Ally Switch out there.
No.
Never referred to it as an Ally Switch. Like, because I was like, Ally Switch just gets kind of better. Because now you're looking at the move and you're like,
oh shit,
he can do it.
What was the thing that came up the most? Oh, knowing that my Talonflame had Taunt, I would lead Taunt Talonflame against a Trick Room setter. They would still Trick Room. Because they know that I know that I'm threatening, so they're like, oh, they're not going to go for it.
Yeah.
You're at Yomi level 5 here, right? Like, you're Yomi level 0, and, like, you know they have it, so who does what now?
Nope, they go for it because it's like, oh, well, they're going to think I'm not going to go for it. So,
and, like, sometimes it's just, like your best play. I played a game 3 set recently against Roxanne. Mm-hmm. And there was a turn where I knew he had Fake Out, and I didn't Protect because I was just like, if he doesn't Fake Out me, I get a free hit. But obviously he did Fake Out me, and I got hit off of it. But it's just like, just because you know your opponent has it, it's like it becomes that extra mind game that makes VGC so cool.
It is. It's a cool element of it. I hate it at the same time at certain times, but.
Speaking of open team sheets, that was one of the reasons why I actually didn't like Sun as much. Sun ended up being, like, awesome in the tournament, but, like, for me, I was like,
knowing
I had a game plan for Venusaur with Sash or Life Orb, right? Mm-hmm. If it was Life Orb, I'd do this. If it was Sash, I'd do this. And that kept going through the back of my mind is, like, that's what I can do.
Yeah.
Obviously, I didn't end up playing any Sun, but you know, it was, that's part of why I was so excited about open team sheets, right?
I get that. Yeah, same.
It just removes some of the variance and the unpredictability, you know?
Unfortunately, my team couldn't really have that liberty of, you know, flexing whether or not I know the items, so. Where was I going with this? Yeah, so without knowing that, I think that's just so telling of how good Sun is, because it's even better without the knowledge. Talking about, like, I guess, what's it called? The ability to do open team sheets at live events. The only reason we had it at this event was to, like, hack check, essentially, to, like, guarantee we were fighting the stuff we should be fighting. but it did bring this enjoyable factor that changed the game. That we were talking earlier, we want to see more maybe online tournaments like this in the future. But I do think, I know Japan Nationals in the past has done this. I think if like Top Cut is open team sheets in the future, like make that practice standard, I think that'd be a lot of fun. Because there's no way, like, what was it? We had the 600 person regional in Dallas. The connection on the phones were like awful because of how many people there were. We were never logistically going to be able to do that for like an entire tournament like we did for Players Cup. But I think, yeah, I like it though.
Yeah.
It's possible if you get Wi-Fi because we have online team sheet submission now, right?
Yeah, but then you're assuming everyone has phones and like it's a lot to like juggle and everything. So
yeah, I think the big argument is like as we've gone on in VGC, we've made it less luck based. We used to have best of one single eliminations.
Yeah.
Then we went to best of one Swiss, and then we went to best of three Swiss. I feel like this is just like a natural.
Forgot we used to be Swiss no cut too.
We did do have that.
That was the time.
So like I feel like the format is making things more consistent, and I think open team sheets is the most consistent Pokemon like you'll have ever. I think it's like amazing. Logistically, I don't know how. Like I feel like if you're like filling out a team sheet, it's like you file out like a form. It's like one for the copy for the judge and one for yourself, which would be cool. But like I really would want it. I think it's amazing.
I would miss like the middle ground plays though, like not knowing what moves your opponent might have yet, and like the whole, I guess, gambits of game one, like knowledge and everything.
Yeah.
Like there, it does change the game, not drastically, but quite a bit on how you would play it. That's why I feel like later rounds it makes more sense, especially because the VGC online rhetoric of friends being broken, like having friendship systems.
Friends are broken.
Like, you know, you can share the team info against potential opponents. That evens the playing field tremendously for cut there. So that would be my vote for why we would want that in cut in the future.
I mean, is there anything really bad about changing the way that we play the game? Because if you're saying, like, oh, this is how we've always played the game, is that necessarily, like, a good thing, right? Like,
right.
Is the natural evolution, is a change a bad thing? I don't really think so. I think it's good. I prefer it. But then again, I'm also greedy about this because I typically play more balanced control stuff that doesn't have
crazy
weird
moves,
tech
yeah.
options, right? I'm not running that, like...
No surprise factors to really cheese out, like, the first three rounds for you.
Yeah, I'm not running like Quiver Dance or Choreo or something. I'm not running like, I don't know. I'm not running crazy weird moves.
I've been known to run
maybe
some
I'm a little greedy
sets. Well, so there's also like certain teams. It's like, where's the weakness policy on like the Dragapult, T-Tar kind of stuff. So
yeah,
I think that's why
it especially helps
weakness policy Dragapult wasn't as big of a thing in open team sheet. Like, it's better on stuff like T-Tar at that point. So.
Yeah. If there's, like, one thing I could add to that, or, like, add, like as, like, a reason why we don't want it, is, like, a lot of team-building decisions are usually reflected on, like, the meta or, like, stuff. And, like, when it's revealed, it has, like, a great impact. Like, even something simple. Like, the majority of Excadrills are weakness policy or focus sash or life orb.
Mm-hmm.
But up until recently, there's been Lum Excadrills to deal with like the burns, burning jealousy, random will-o-wisps and stuff. And like the impact on that like decreases a lot when it is open team sheet. So like that's like some arguments people have. Not necessarily, I don't like the argument of like, oh no, people are going to find out that I'm running Choice Specs Gyarados or like something out of the ordinary, like that like those gimmicks I'm not too big of, but like smart item choices and smart move choices that get revealed and become weaker is a bit sad to see, but
yeah,
that's like the little bit of the argument against team cheats.
Yeah, that's kind of the like the game one middle ground plays information gathering phase that I really enjoy.
Yeah,
I would also partially argue that like even if you have smart item choices. Like, because if you remember back when no one was running, like, Weakness Policy Excadrill, and I think Edu was the first person who...
He was one of the first person, to but bring he, it to, like, the
he
top.
Was, he definitely, I think he brought it in, what was it? What was that super huge tournament that was online?
OCIC. Febzy
won it? No. The one that Wolf ran.
Oh, Champions Cup.
Champions Cup, right? And he had this Weakness Policy Excadrill that was, like, you couldn't, like... You had to play around that, right? Because even in the later rounds, people knew that he was running Weakness Policy Excadrill.
Yeah.
It didn't like it didn't matter, and that smart item choice where people couldn't just like heat wave with Arcanine, they're like it gave them a lot of trouble when they tried to cycle intimidate, right? Because he'd just sit there and Quake or Steel Spike or Swords Dance or whatever, right? So I do think smart item choices. Yeah, we could lose some of that, but I think it's still very doable if you can make the right item choice for the, the meta.
Like, I'm already big. I want this implemented ASAP, Rocky. but my arguments are I don't have strong arguments against it because I don't think there are too many strong arguments against it.
I think it affects team building, though. Like, there's another layer we have to think about. Regarding team building, so it's hard.
Yeah,
I think a lot of newer players will struggle with it. I feel.
Okay, that is valid. I do. That's why I think that like open team sheets generally the better player wins.
Yeah.
It tends to be the more experienced player.
Which isn't like necessarily the best argument because you don't want like that. That goes to show like the skill gap in the game if the. Worst players are winning because of their off meta move choices only.
Yeah. I think, I guess one thing, so to make it not sound like the better player will win, I think it allows you to make the most informed and best decision at every point in the game.
Like, at certain points in some matchups, there are definitive correct plays to be made.
Yeah. There's no unknown. There's no, like, this plays won't work out if my opponent has this, because now you know, so you can play around that, or you can make a play with that in mind. And that is like, its own dynamic, and I think, like, a lot of the smarter players that, like, are thinking about the board state and the game state get rewarded heavily on, and I think that's overall healthy for the game.
Are there any Pokemon we haven't really touched upon? I guess expanding Force Spam didn't become as bad of a thing as we thought it'd be. But it's still oppressive as hell.
Rillaboom is...
Yeah, again, Rillaboom up there.
Yeah, oh, Rillaboom,
another Pokemon in Invalidated, Rhyperior.
I didn't even...
I'm so glad. Rhyperior, like, Hard Trick Room was so annoying. But, like, it was never the best, but, you know.
If anything, I think it just made Sun realize that that Tyranitar was better.
Porygon 2 and, like, the difference between Porygon 2 and, like, Dusclops didn't really go over.
I think. I think if there's one, statistic is that they were... Three Porygon 2s that made it to the next day, while there was only one Dusclops that
Yeah, that's true.
That made it.
And the Dusclops is stuck on the like mixed Sun kind of team.
I guess the other thing is Porygon 2 was used more than Dusclops. Into both weeks.
It fits more teams just because of its type. And its coverage, like also the variability it has with its coverage.
I think it like overall Chikrin got a bit better because of that too. They had more reliable setters that aren't just.
One thing One thing that I was interested in was, I think Porygon 2 actually has good max options between...
I did have to fight it can, Porygon 2.
It has crazy bulk. And Dusclops doesn't do damage, but Porygon 2 with a special attack boost.
Yeah, download boost.
It's pretty solid. It gets the terrains up, right? Like, it can set electric terrain for itself to prevent sleep, so you can't yawn it or anything.
But
right? You can...
in expense, you're not doing, like, actual, like, insane max move damage like we're used to.
No, but it's an option, right? It's
not terrible. My opponent only did it because... They were going to lose anyways, and they hadn't maxed yet. So, but
yeah,
it's not awful. In that vein, Amoongus can also max if you ever needed it to.
Well, I guess I'm just saying, like, Porygon 2's max option is much better than Dusclops's max option.
Yes.
You shouldn't be maxing Dusclops.
I've only ever seen it once,
but Porygon 2 has that. Sort of offensive potential, right? So,
trying to think if there's any just Pokemon, new or old, we haven't really touched upon. Magnezone and Gudra, neither made it all the way through. They're like,
yeah, they
meta stuff right now, though.
They did finish fifth again. I think it was Adi's team.
Adi got fifth.
Adi.
Yeah, no. I wish there was
I wish he could
someone taking results of like all the top 8 teams from each region, because I think there's a lot of stuff. Obviously, my team got top 8.
Yeah.
But
definitely
a bigger picture of the meta, because I think there was just so many smart ideas into team building. I think I look at Rogov's team, that was like a really cool team.
Yeah.
Even Jeremy. He just ran Sun, I believe, right? But like, just to like see, get more usage, get more of that percentage.
I'm sure someone somewhere is trying to gather as many of the top, as many of just the Players Cup teams in general. I'm sure somewhere eventually we'll get maybe like 70% at least from NA.
Yeah.
I'm sure those teams get posted.
Because there were, I don't remember, but I think there were three people running that Comfy Lapras team. Comfy Lapras, Gudra, Magnezone team
on
top 16,
Underhill.
Right?
Underhill got 33rd with us.
Was it top 16? It was Adi, Justin Burns, and someone else. Maybe I misremember. It might have only been two.
No, Underhill got 17th.
Okay.
And Justin got 25th.
I think Adi was the only one in week 3 that ran the team.
Oh, in week 3? Okay. Yeah. I might be mistaken then. But it's just, it's a bigger metagame picture.
I guess
who's your Magnezone head more? Sorry, go
ahead. Use for week 3. Because we're looking at the week 2, because that's the only that's been released.
Yeah, we don't have week 3 stats yet.
Yeah.
But hopefully we'll get those soon. I think my biggest bummer is that I really like this format right now, like kind of where it is. It's enjoyable.
Yeah.
We don't have tournaments going on, like all the tournaments going on, like the Victory Road stuff. It's like team tournaments or like invitationals, like the Players Cup Finals is coming up. But like, there's no just big like open bracket tournaments. Like Rose Tower has stuff coming up. They because their circuit. Well, that's even more invitationals they have. Their circuit's ending this month. So, like, right around where Worlds was supposed to happen, they're going to have their big events with their invitational and stuff. So, we have a lot of cool viewing opportunities, but not a lot of, like, playing opportunities, you know?
I guess if there's the next event I'm preparing for, when you announce your Swiss thing, I'm definitely playing in it.
Oh yeah,
but
I'm waiting for Colin to get partner on Twitch, and then I'll like enable that. But
LCQ for Rose Tower is the next big tournament. I think everyone should be preparing for.
That's in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Or next week.
It was going to be next week. But they moved it because next week is Players Cup Finals.
Yeah.
Right.
So they don't
want
to like, even though it's so few people playing in that tournament. They'd rather have them also play in the LCQ if they could, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just a shame because, like, Victory Road had a lot of big tours, but they're busy with their, like, Europe stuff. They also had this...
Yeah, Europe. Europe stuff.
Well, just the team tournaments. Team tournaments. I'm saying
they get such big turnouts, and it's like the tournament is only like Spain only.
With Victory Road, yeah, they did their Spain only tournament. The one that the Mono Water team won. I say Mono Water because it was Dark Ushifu, but five other water Pokemon. Weirdest team I've seen. Horndrill Sea King was on it. I think Wolf made a video with it. If you watch Wolf's content and want to see that. But yeah, they had over 900 people in that Spain only.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Spain? Oh wow.
So like, again, like us, like we're saying not lots going on, you know, as English speakers and like players and whatnot. But there just used to be a lot more going on. Champions Cup came and departed. We never expected much out of that after the fact, if I'm going to be honest.
Actually, can we talk about the NA had a Korean player qualify?
Oh yeah. Well, okay. I was trying to avoid saying his name, but the Korean player, yeah, he lives in Canada now though, right?
Yeah, he lives in Canada now. So
yeah,
but that's like
former Korean player.
Yeah. Yeah, former Korean player, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard good things about the guy. I'm friends with Wansiak, Rollout Dude, and I know he played with him, so I respect him in that aspect. But and also, so in the stuff that we've been looking at for the teams that I'll be linking in the description, no matter where you're watching or listening, it only shows three teams from NA. There's a fourth player, but it's Conan. There's complications. I think he'll probably still play in the tournament. I doubt there's much TPCI really cares about. Like, if he gets top four, will they not give him his prize? I could see that happening, but I don't know. I don't want to talk about why Conan's a problem, but just at the very least, he lives in Japan. He shouldn't have been playing for that reason alone. If they let Conan play, but they didn't let Ray play because he accidentally registered his Japanese address, well, like.
Well, the thing I wanted to bring up with Luca being Korean is that there was an entire section of Asia that was cut out of
Players
Cup.
Yeah,
and I just really want to highlight that if you've looked at some of the friendlies that have happened, because we're talking about Spain and like just 900 Spanish players, Team China, Jolly Breloom, has like swept every single one of their friendlies. It's crazy.
I've seen a lot of like friendlies like that. I've never like,
and
I guess that's not a big thing in the US, but like,
but the crazy thing is that Team China's been sweeping and they don't even have a circuit. They can't play. And we've seen some crazy stuff out of the Chinese players that have come to Canada. Like Bingxi is one of my locals, right?
Yeah,
and he is destroyed.
Right.
Yifei too, yeah. So they're like both awesome players, and like it's really cool that at least like we got a Korean player in cut, and unfortunately, and none of the Chinese players could play, but the ones that are in like the US and Canada were able to play as well.
Yeah, so Oceania was only New Zealand and Australia now.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's because of some business issues with TPCI and stuff. Like, it's above our
pay. We can only speculate, but I think it is something like that.
But also just business decisions happening in quarantine in general. Oh, cool. Yeah. Segue. The last thing I wanted to talk about. This is over a month old now, but it was posted like 3 days after my last Cablecast episode, so we're talking about it now. There's like loose 2021 Championship Series information they have out there. They're still planning on having Worlds in London next year.
Yes.
So I was, oh my god, so many canceled trips this year. I finally have an income. I'm employed after college. I was going to go to so many events, but quarantine ruined that for me. But it's okay. I'm looking at the brighter side. Once we get through this portion of life, when we get events back, I'm going ham. We're going to have so much fun. Just, you know, just be patient, stay safe out there, guys. But we now have a 3-day Worlds event.
Yes, well, like, sir.
Four if you count finals. But
oh shit, yeah, it is.
Yeah. So, well, here let's do it. Age divisions, whatever. So World Championships will take over 4 days, beginning on a Thursday. The CP eligible players earned in 2020 will transfer in whole to the 2021 season. Players will continue to add to this with whatever events happened in 2021, which who knows with how the U.S. has been treating stuff. I see other countries are rebounding and stuff. I read today Australia had like a resurgence or whatever. Scary stuff. But so Thursday is the same bar for 2020 Worlds.
Yeah.
And then Friday is the new bar. And then Saturday, our like usual day two, is like the top.
Do we know the new bar?
No.
We don't know the new bar.
They're not gonna calculate that bar until we get back to events.
That's fair.
Honestly, I could see it'd be weird, but I can't imagine Thursday and Friday bars being that off. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they decide to lower the Thursday bar, just because how I imagine they want it to be is they want people who just started playing in 2021 to still be able to qualify for Worlds.
Yes, that's me.
That's you? Don't you have CP from 19?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you went to the one Atlantic regional city?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I beat you.
Yeah, it had happened.
So when qualifying from when you start in 2021, it would sort of be like re-qualifying for that day zero, right? You'd have...
Yeah.
So you'd still be hitting that 400 bar. What is it, 400, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there are players who only played in Ultra Series in fall of 2019 that are qualified for day zero, Thursday, of the 2021 Worlds.
Yeah. Which makes it difficult for new players because you want to cater to them, right? So yes. People who don't have CP.
But how?
And then people who have earned some CP.
When are we gonna get back? Like people are thinking, like maybe March of next year again. But that's not enough events to give CP for new people.
You're right.
I need a miracle.
So
I'm in need of a major comeback.
I'm not worried. I will qualify for Worlds because what was it? I thought I was going to this year. For day one, because I am almost at 200, and I had, I think, 2 to 3 regionals and a Nats left for CP. But it's going to be a mess. Best finish limits, they don't know. I'm surprised they even said something about this, but I guess people are asking. Because there's a lot of money. A lot of people... I guess it's more important for TCG because a lot of people's livelihoods, I guess, can be affected by this.
Yeah.
So
honestly, Jody, you don't need a miracle. You just show up to Worlds and you flash your Pikachu trophy, and you're like, "I got this, guys." They let you.
The plan is to win Worlds on day zero, easy.
No, but imagine
day zero is gonna.
If you have a Pikachu trophy, like just qualifying for every single Worlds.
Yeah.
That it's good. It's gonna be very. I respect anyone playing from day zero or day one, making it to day three. That's one Swiss round, like day of Swiss into another day of Swiss, into another day of Swiss, into top cut. So like that's insane already. My ideal is I am also, you know, finally financially capable. So I want to, I was planning on traveling to events this year and, you know.
It's going to be a good time.
COVID bodied that. But hopefully I'll be able to get at least the original day one invite, whatever that CP bar is.
Yeah.
But we'll have to see. We'll have to see when events even start reopening. When we're gonna have our first event. So much happening. Yeah.
We'll figure it
Let's
out.
Let's go for like. Who was I talking to you with this about? I think if we assume you're playing like 9 days of Swiss on day zero, followed up by 9 days of Swiss on day one, followed up by 7 rounds of Swiss on day
two. I will be trying to skip Thursday.
You can hit like, I think you can hit like 35. No, it's not 35 rounds.
No, there's not no rounds, way, but you can but hit. Maybe games, not sets, but games.
No. Nine rounds of Swiss into 9 rounds of Swiss on day one into seven. Another seven.
Oh, yeah.
Into like, you can easily hit like 30 rounds of Pokemon.
Yeah, no, easily.
Like,
because like, if X2s make it, you can just be the lower X2.
Dude, at this point, just make Worlds an open bracket. Anyone can enter.
Yeah.
AKA, just bring back LCQ.
Ooh.
That's what day zero is.
Yeah, make Thursday
elimination. I'm flipping.
Make no. Make it LCQ, but Swiss LCQ.
Okay.
Like an actual tournament.
Yeah, day zero is acting like an LCQ.
Yeah.
But how are they gonna decide who gets the cool backpacks if
you have to make it through that day? No. So the reason why it's LCQ is it's the next day. Yeah. You have to make it to Friday to get the cool bag.
Right.
All right. Yeah, I think we've exhausted everything. Is there anything else, Jody? I know. I'm plugging all your socials. You're trying to pop off.
Yes, sir.
I'll stream sometime eventually. I don't know. I hate streaming right now. I can't. I'll get over the hump, but it's just because there's no events or anything.
Yeah, no.
Like, I'm not motivated to play yet. Although I just remembered, it's a new month, so I might stream me getting back into Master Ball. We'll see. But yeah.
Yeah. No, like I said at the beginning. I think when I said it at the beginning, my laptop's broken, but I get a new one. 2 to 4 days.
No.
From here, cool. August 7th.
By people, like people who hear this episode, and like, eventually, by the time they're like, oh, I need to look up Jody. You'll be back. You'll be back.
Hey, I will. Yes.
And then Abe, you're doing you, man, right? You're not entering grassroots stores and stuff, right?
That's
your thing. Yeah. I don't know. If you're watching this on YouTube, the Twitters are right below us. Give your boys a follow.
Over here.
Do you have any other last thoughts before we sign
off? Down there.
No. VGC 20 is probably the most fun I've had playing Pokemon in a long time. And I'm very excited to play more. I'm very excited to watch the Players Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Pokemon is a game that I like now. I'm glad to be back. So thank you for having me.
It's fun. Especially with friends. Friends are broken. Good friends.
Friends are broken.
All right. We'll talk next time. Next episode will be, who knows who I'll have with, but we'll talk Players Cup. We'll talk everything. So I'll see you guys next episode. Take care, everyone.
Bye.